This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Kat and Farin on Joy 94.9.
The disco tried to keep going then, didn't it?
It did. It just kept going. It was really exciting disco stuff, obviously.
I have to say I pretty much liked the disco. It's been a while since I've heard any, so I thought that was a pretty uplifting drive time. Anyway, welcome to Dystopical, which is a debate and a reflection on what matters to queer women in the community.
That's right. And this evening, we're talking about, all the things that are important to women. Fascinators for femmes, race dresses for dykes. No, actually, wrong. We're not talking about any of those things, although I'm sure you've seen lots of lovely ladies on the street today. I know that I have.
I know that I was trying to have a conversation with Farin earlier and couldn't really get a sensible word out of her because she was distracted by all the fascinators.
That's right.
In the street.
That's right. Just the fascinators.
Just the fascinators.
Yeah.
So anyway, tonight we're talking about the lesbian U-Haul. I think everyone has heard the joke, what does a lesbian take on the second date?
What?
A U-Haul, meaning a moving truck, for those of you that don't know that. So basically, the U-Haul lesbian or the U-Haul syndrome is an LGBTIQ slang term used to describe a stereotype of lesbian relationships, and it originated from the punchline of that joke. It signifies an inclination amongst lesbians towards not only just monogamy, but really committed relationships and really quickly committed relationships.
Right, because on the face of it, monogamy and committed relationships doesn't sound like a bad thing, does it?
No. I'm coming around to that way of thinking. Yes, I can imagine that's true for a lot of people. But in some ways it's a complimentary term, but I think largely it's pejorative, that idea that lesbians go and merge straight away. Anyway, we will be talking about what it means, what merits we think it has, our own experiences with U-hauling, any.
Yes, we have some. We have to confess we are guilty of such things.
And how it feels to be the friend of a U-hauler as well. So during the show, you can text us on 0427-JOY949. You can Facebook us at Dystopical, DYSTOPICAL. Of course, you can use the smartphone Joy app in order to contact us too, or email us at dystopical@joy.org.au.
And come on, don't be shy. Tell us your U-hauling stories. Confess. Tell us your secrets.
How many days were you together before you moved in?
We want to hear all about it because we've got our stories to share too. All right. Welcome back. You're listening to Dystopical on Joy 94.9.
And what were we just listening to?
We were just listening to Talk Like That by The Presets and Feel It in the Air, TV Rock featuring Rudy.
It always makes me feel happy.
I know. They are two very, very happy songs. Thought we'd start off with something fun.
So we're talking about the lesbian U-Haul tonight. Farin, you're familiar with this term, yeah?
I am, and I think pretty much every lesbian out there is familiar with this term.
Look, it originates from a joke. However...
And you tell it so well.
I'm renowned for not being very good at telling jokes, for those of you that don't already know that. So what I'm thinking is that because it originates from a joke, okay, people agree that it's a joke, it wouldn't be considered to be a joke or to be funny if there wasn't
some truth
in it somewhere, if there wasn't something you could identify in it. Anyway, so the joke goes, what does a lesbian bring on a second date?
The answer is?
A U-Haul. Meaning, of course, a moving truck. Usually it is followed or preceded by a joke about gay men, which is, what does a gay man bring on the second date? And the answer is, what second date? So I guess in some ways the lesbian one's slightly less pejorative, but, you know, it's a bit up in the air whether it's complimentary or pejorative. What do you think, Farin?
Look, I think that we make fun of it, but there's definitely an element of truth to it. It definitely resonates with me as in, you know, as something I've experienced myself and, you know, seen friends go
through.
You
mean done, perpetrated.
Perpetrated. I've definitely been guilty of perpetrating this act of U-hauling. With, I would add, both men and women. So maybe it says something about me rather than than about lesbians.
Maybe it does. I don't think that moving in with someone or as it's called, you know, the urge to merge, is necessarily a bad thing in itself, but I think it can have pretty bad consequences.
I like this term, urge to merge.
Yeah,
and I think that, you know, we see it quite a lot. Like people,
it's a gay slang.
It is a gay slang term, but you actually see it quite a lot as well. You see it happening before your very eyes with friends who are single one day and then are we the next day.
Absolutely. I mean, and there hasn't, of course, as is the case with a lot of queer or even more specifically, usually lesbian or trans phenomena, there isn't a lot of research into it, though there is some. Psychologists, I guess, usually note that the U-Haul joke epitomizes the perceived phenomenon of lesbians to form intense emotional connections quickly. And critics of this tendency, not of the joke, but the tendency itself, suggest that it's used by lesbians to avoid the risks involved with dating.
That's an interesting, you know, thing that they picked up there.
It's a big criticism in many ways.
Well, I mean, dating isn't such a fun thing. So if you find someone that seems right for you, why carry on with, you know, the supposed torture of continuing to date other people?
Yeah, but if you look at the psychological underpinnings of that desire to avoid that, and I'm not saying I agree with this, but certainly certain critics do kind of make a link to a stunted development of intimate relationships during teenage years.
Wow, that's a little ouch.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That hurts. And I guess the reasoning behind that is that during that formative time for relationships, a lot of lesbians and gays are in the closet or, you know, not in the situation where they can actually have an open, intimate relationship with a same-sex partner.
But so despite the concept, the U-Haul concept's positive suggestions that lesbians do not have difficulties committing to relationships, which I guess inherently is a good thing that you don't have difficulty committing to someone. I guess this is a very, very broad brush, you know, experience that we're trying to portray here. You know, some lesbians have definite problems committing and, you know, others are...
I have my hand up.
And others are in the middle. But generally this... you know, this ability.
I'm sitting here watching you trying to say something really supportive.
This ability to commit to relationships. I'm trying. Some psychologists believe that this behavior can be unhealthy. They argue that the short dating span bypasses serious discussion on many relationship issues prior to moving in. And, you know, these things can range from, you know, sexual compatibility, future expectations, where you want to live, where you want your life to go, whether you want to have children or not, whether you want to share a mortgage, have you even met each other's parents, you know, that sort of stuff. All that sort of stuff gets bypassed and can manifest itself in various problems that you see later on in life.
Yeah, of course.
Problems that you would usually see hammered out during a dating stage of the relationship, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that idea of moving in immediately or entangling oneself in someone else's life to the exclusion of all others means that, it seems like it's not so much a focus on the person but just on being in a relationship.
Mm.
Which is, of course, you know, if you're rolling a dice and one of those facets is it's all going to work out great and the other five are it's going to be terrible at some point in the future, there are obviously people that can pull this off, that can merge immediately with someone and it turns out fine in the end. So I just think it's risky.
Hmm. All right. Well, we are going to play you a little dedication to all those, you know, reformed U-haulers out there. This is Sheryl Crow, My Favorite Mistake. Welcome back. This is Dystopical on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Kat and Farine.
Hi. What were we listening to?
We were listening to Sheryl Crow, My Favorite Mistake, and Green Day Holiday. And how do people get in touch with us? How do they tell us their shocking U-Haul stories, their shocking U-Haul experiences? Are they're really great U-Haul experiences that they've had?
Yeah, well, Serene, I'm really glad that you asked that.
Thank you.
Yeah, so during the show, you can text us on 0427-JOY949. You can Facebook us at Dystopical, D-Y-S-T-O-P-I-C-A-L. You can use the smartphone Joy app to get in contact, or you can email us on dystopical@joy.org.au. So let's get back to the lesbian U-Haul.
Excellent. Let's do it. I'm on that truck.
I know you've been on that truck, and we will talk about that a little bit later. I'd like to talk about why. Why do we think people do this? Why do they move in together or merge so quickly? I want to give my opinion and my theories, but of course yours as well, Fran.
Okay, well, let's hear yours.
And then we could talk about your personal experience of doing that. Okay, well, from the research that I could find, which is, of course, often in the field of lesbian phenomena, not a lot, there's a few theories out there, one being to do with a reaction to homophobia.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah, look, sort of basically that lesbians like to jump into relationships to prove to the world that lesbian relationships do exist. Now, that sounds a little bit, you know, anachronistic, but I guess...
I'm not sure if I buy that one.
Yeah.
I don't think... consciously, at least, I don't think that these decisions that, you know, women make to move in together are based on a reaction to the world, necessarily.
Yeah, I think if you're looking at internalized homophobia, okay, that idea that, you know, women can't really have relationships. So, you know, we always get a bit excited when, you know, we find out someone's dating someone. So maybe, I don't know, maybe there's something in it. Maybe it's about just being so... thrilled to say, hey, women do have relationships, and see, they work, we can move in together just like a straight couple, etc., etc.
Yeah, I think more than that, it's about, you know, rather than, you know, proving to the world anything, I think it's about seeking comfort in someone else that is, you know, like you, that can share whatever, you know, experiences of homophobia you're having in the world together. It's lonely doing it on your own, having those experiences. And I think that having someone, a buddy,
to go through it with and understands
what it's like, and, you know, you can share those experiences together. You feel stronger when you're with someone else doing those things, I think.
Yeah. And I guess the downside of that, well, in my opinion, is that we should be praising the quality of relationships, not the fact that we're in one.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, holding being in a relationship up on a pedestal as opposed to being single strikes me as not a particularly necessarily healthy thing.
Absolutely. And I hope, I've always said, I think you really have to be happy with yourself first to be in a relationship.
Yeah. And, well, I guess... it's generally kind of accepted that people that rush into relationships are somewhat insecure, which may, I mean, please don't be offended, or be offended if you must, but...
Yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily
maybe it's not always the case, but I think it certainly can be the case.
Okay.
All right, so the other major theory out there is that lesbians U-Haul so fast because they're skipping the dating part. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I'm a fan of skipping the dating part. I think dating is awkward. I think it's like it's like going on, you know, a job interview constantly, always putting yourself out on display like that. I think there's a lot of pressure with it, and I don't find it a particularly enjoyable experience. So if I could skip the dating part, I would skip the dating part.
Really? Because I like the dating part.
See, I would skip the awkward dating part. I love getting to know someone, like in a genuine sense. I think what I hate is first dates. I hate the performance and the acting of first dates.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
I think the getting to know someone, you know, learning their likes, learning their dislikes, you know, deciding that they've got a completely different top 10 movie list in you, and it's never really going to work out. Those things are all fun, but the first dates are excruciating. And if I could find a way to get to the second date, oh, in lesbian words, that's U-hauling.
That's U-hauling,
right? Yeah. The actual second date, then I would love to get there.
Look, I guess there are other reasons for not hating dating, for hating dating. Even though I, unlike you, I don't mind it that much. that said, not that I'm doing it at the moment, because it clearly, yeah, I go through phases of not liking it as well. But, I mean, it isn't that easy to meet other women. So I guess, well, I mean, it's not as easy if you're a gay woman to meet other potential partners as it would be if you were a straight woman, statistically speaking. Or depending on where you live, there may not be many places to do that, even if there's millions of them out there. So I guess I could see why if you meet someone that you at all like, you might want to hang on to them so that you don't have to go back out there and do it all over again, potentially for ages.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. What next?
Well, I wanted to talk to you about your U-hauling.
My U-hauling experiences. Yeah. Look,
And how I felt about that.
Look, I've been guilty on actually more than one occasion of being a bit of a U-hauler, I guess, as you would call it. One, in the first situation, this was actually with a guy, not with a girl, and I decided to move countries to be with that person.
How long had you been together?
We'd been together we'd known each other for 4 or 5 years, but we'd actually been together for several months, not more than that.
Okay, so you moved countries.
I moved countries. Mm-hmm. And the relationship lasted a couple of years, but in hindsight, I would have liked to go much slower with it. I think that the moving countries thing was a little unavoidable, but the moving in together thing, you know, I could have done a bit slower than I did. I think I put all eggs in one basket, and I think I realized that that's kind of a pattern of mine as well.
Sort of an all or nothing.
Yeah,
it's
like an all or nothing thing. And I did that recently as well again.
Yes, you did.
I did. we didn't actually move in, but we got, you know, pretty serious pretty fast. And I'd like to think it's because I'm an incredibly hopeful person, and I'd like to hope that that things are going to work out with that person. And if they have for a couple of months, and I, you know, like to test the waters by making it more serious.
Putting all your bills in each other's names. Yeah, why not? Look, I just think that it's such a risk to move so fast with someone who is, to all intents and purposes, somewhat of a stranger, even though it feels, your hormones feel like you know each other inside out. Pardon the pun. I really didn't mean that, Fran. But I think that, look, it's not just a potentially unhealthy relationship where you've got all these, you know, insecurities, feeding insecurities and spending all your time together. And therefore, you know, you blocking out the outside world and not getting any other, you know, input from
feedback,
other people.
Input, yeah.
But what about your relationships with friends?
Well, I think this is where the balance often suffers. And I was reading this article where when you get into a relationship, you kind of have, you know, maybe let's say a top five friends list. Mm. And, you know, the bottom friend, or, you know, the friend, the fifth friend,
number
or whatever,
five.
Number five kind of falls off the list because you're not, they're the last.
You've only got so
friends.
Much time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And your, you know, your best friend or your top friendship where you spend most of your time, that relationship also suffers because all of a sudden a lot of the things that you would have been doing with your best friend you're now doing with this other person.
Yeah.
And I think that's common. And this this sort of article was written for heterosexuals, so I think it is common for everyone. But I think it is experienced by the friends of U-haulers, unfortunately, a lot.
Absolutely. And look, there are also those friends that not just, you know, deprioritize you, but there's a couple of other behaviors that I think can be really damaging to friendships. One is when your friend only now wants to interact with you with their partner present.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those couples that just interact socially as couples.
That they become an instant we, and all social things automatically become,
involve both of them.
Yeah.
And look, I don't have a problem hanging out with people and their partner, and sometimes you become friends with both of them. But you can't actually replace one-on-one interaction with people with a one-on-two interaction with people.
Absolutely. I agree. And I really do think that your individual time with your friends, your individual time with your families is incredibly important. And that I think it's unhealthy to be doing everything
together.
Yeah,
I think it's formative.
Yeah.
Not threatening. I had a friend once who actually just disappeared altogether. Like one day, you know, she was here. We all had a normal social life, group of friends. Next day, met a girl, and literally within a couple of weeks, disappeared. I've basically never seen her since.
Wow.
And this was years ago. So also that makes you think, like, you know, was this a genuine friendship that I put my time and my love and my care into? Or were you just treading water with me until someone who could, you know, meet all your needs comes along?
It does make you question how important you are as a friend when this U-Haul thing happens to your friends. Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it can be quite jading.
look, I guess on the flip side of it, U-Hauling is a good as any test of a relationship. I guess you'll find out sooner rather than later if you are meant for the long haul, excuse the pun, you know, whether you will be able to do things together, whether you're good domestically, whether you're good at doing chores together, where you're good at, you know, cooking together, making plans, whatever it is. I think it tests those things. It tests them earlier rather than later.
True, but it's also quite a lot of risk, because when you break up from a domestic relationship, well, for starters, breaking up from a domestic relationship is not as easy to do as breaking up from a non-domestic relationship. Also, it involves losing a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah.
Often family gets involved as well, because, you know, this person is situated as being part of your family to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you're putting all your eggs in your basket, and it's a spindly little basket or something.
But look, on the other hand, I think it's not like the days when when people moved in with one person and stayed put for a very long time. We're much more mobile than, you know, we used to be. We tend to move into share housing, you know, in and out with more casualness than we did before.
That's true. But I also think that as a community, we tend to admire lesbians who are in long-term relationships, because we don't have a lot of role models in that area.
That's true.
But you know, so we're saying, yay, they've been together for ages. See, you know, gay relationships can last. But then, again, we're applauding those relationships for their longevity, not for their quality.
Mm.
So I think, you know...
Well, in some sense, we equate the two.
Yeah, we do. And I think it can work the other way around. You know, you don't... I think that people can stay in relationships much longer than perhaps they should, because being in that long relationship is seen to be such a good thing and is lauded so much by society, or at least our community. What do you think?
I think I'm ready to play this song.
All right, what are you going to play me?
I'm going to play you Salt and Pepper.
Okay, great.
Welcome back. You're listening to Kat and Farine on Joy 94.9. We've just been playing you a little bit of... what have we been playing you? Oh, sorry.
Where did you go?
Sorry, I don't know. Push it, Salt and Pepper. And the lovely Adele, Hiding My Heart Away.
Oh, that made me really teary.
It is a very cute song. It's lovely.
And while we're on a song break, one of our listeners called in to give some feedback. We've been talking tonight about the lesbian U-Haul. So thank you, Nina, for doing that. She says that she took the U-Haul plunge, and although there were a few teething problems initially, the relationship actually lasted for over 10 years. Even though, interestingly, she lived with her partner's young children, who were unaware for many years of the nature of their parents' relationship. Mm. And although she doesn't think she'd do it personally again now, I wish she'd said why, she suggests that if the opportunity presents itself, then listeners should also take the plunge and hire that moving van.
we've just had another listener text in and tell us that she and her girlfriend have been going out for a year. They and two other friends are moving out together next year because I think we might lose touch with our friends. Huh. However, this might not happen because of difference in opinion. I would still be happy to move out with my girlfriend, even though we wouldn't be able to live with our friends. And hopefully our friends will understand and not be mad. Not sure if I should put a name down, she says.
I think it's okay to be anonymous.
Yeah, I think that's okay. And I think that, you know, choosing who to move in and out with can be difficult, and trying to move in with friends, move out with friends, I think. So, it's a balancing act.
Always.
But
whether
I like,
it's friends or lovers.
But I like to think that with, you know, lesbians, there is an extended community family thing out there, and you can, you know, make a home with your partner and with, you know, a few other people.
Mm.
I'd like to think that.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. All right, so we're moving on to the agony aunt section. Can I read it tonight?
Sure, of course.
Okay, and you can be the wise answerer of the question.
As always.
All right, here we go. This is obviously about you hauling. Dear Dystopical, I've met someone online and I've really enjoyed getting to know her. The funny thing is, on both of our profiles, we both mentioned something about not U-hauling and not wanting to do it. But it's just 8 weeks in and she's already suggesting that we move in together. This is not weird. I like her, but she's going way overboard. She's become clingy and possessive really fast. How do I deal with this, and what is up with the lesbian U-haul syndrome?
Well, funny you ask. That's exactly what we're talking about today. Look, I think one of the points that we really want to make here, and we have made earlier, is that the pace of relationship is, you know, not related to the quality of relationship. Some women rush together into lasting love, seizing upon a truly good fit, but hurrying towards a finish line. Some women project romantic wishes on just about any pretty girl who comes along. Some skip from relationship to relationship with no breaks, and others attempt to cure uncertainty through stability. So I guess there's variations on what is true love, idealized love, or fears of just being alone. But to qualify it as such, there must be, you know, a cooperative effort around that. Look, try not to prejudge this girlfriend too harshly. You know,
I would.
The quest for a happily ever after with the right woman can be a, you know, it's a phase, and it takes, you know, different things to push it through. You know, if you're really not comfortable, set boundaries and see how your girlfriend, you know, reacts to this. Is she able to slow down? Is she able to respect your opinion? Can she pull back from that wanting to U-Haul so desperately? Or is she, you know, continuing to push forward? See what you're comfortable with and, you know, push back when you're not. And P.S. never ever merge finances in the first year.
Yeah. I think that was really good advice, Fran. You're very wise.
Thank you. That's actually, you know.
And that's true.
We got a little help from, you know, other places.
Yeah, of course. It's important to do your research. But I think that's actually, it's quite a balanced perspective, because I know I would have said, oh, run screaming. But, you know, it's possible that there are some mixed messages going on.
If it's right and it feels right, then just do it. You know, Kat, your parents, you hold, and, you know, they're still together.
That's actually a really good point.
There you go.
My parents got married within 6 weeks of their first date, and that was 1968, and they're still together, and they're actually still happy.
So there you go. There's a really good example of U-hauling, and we know we got a text about that too. So it's not all terrible.
Yeah,
I know it.
43 years.
I know it raises your alarm bells, but you know, for some people, it's the right thing.
It gives me palpitations, and I start to sweat. But yes, obviously, it does work for some people.
All right, this is the end of our show for today. Thank you for being with us. And up next is TJ and Keza with White Noise. But just before we go, I want to play you just this song that's been in my head. And it's very lovely, and it's very poppy, and it's got this reggae beat. So I hope you enjoy it too.
Good night.
Have a good evening.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.